The true foundation dash quoted, the word Peter signifies a loose stone. Christ did not refer to Peter as being the rock upon which he would found his church. His expression "this rock" applied to himself as the foundation of the Christian church. Satan between Peter and Christ, see what the Lord said to Peter. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." What was Satan doing? He came right up face to face with Peter and between the Lord and Peter, so that Peter even took it upon him to reprove the Lord. But the Lord came close to Peter and Satan was put behind Christ. The Lord told Peter that Satan had desired him, that he might sift him as wheat, but he says, "I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." If Peter had learned the lessons he ought to have learned, if he had stood right with God at the time of his trial, he would have stood then. If he had not been indifferent to the lessons Christ taught, he would have never denied his Lord. Satan spoke through Peter. When Christ revealed to Peter the time of trial and suffering that was just before him, and Peter replied, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee," the Savior commanded, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Satan was speaking through Peter, making him act the part of the tempter. Satan's presence was unsuspected by Peter, but Christ could detect the presence of the deceiver, and in his rebuke to Peter he addressed the real foe. Satan's work was to discourage Jesus as he strove to save the depraved race, and Peter's words were just what he wished to hear. They were opposed to the divine plan, and whatever bore this stamp of character was an offense to God. They were spoken at the instigation of Satan, for they opposed the only arrangement God could make to preserve his law and control his subjects, and yet save fallen man. Satan hoped they would discourage and dishearten Christ, but Christ addressed the author of the thought, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Travel Christ's road. Those who are saved must travel the same road over which Christ journeyed. He says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." The character is to be formed according to the Christ-likeness. The cross lifts. We are to lift the cross, and follow the steps of Christ. Those who lift the cross will find that as they do this, the cross lifts them, giving them fortitude and courage, and pointing them to the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Up from the lowlands, the cross lifts you up from the lowlands of earth, and brings you into sweetest communion with God. Through bearing the cross your experience may be such that you can say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and because he lives, I shall live also." What an assurance is this! At the dividing of the way, the cross stands where two roads diverge. One is the path of obedience leading to heaven. The other leads into the broad road, where man can easily go with his burden of sin and corruption, but it leads to perdition. Living for self dishonors Redeemer. Christians who live for self dishonor their Redeemer. They may apparently be very active in the service of the Lord, but they weave self into all that they do. Sowing the seeds of selfishness, they must at last reap a harvest of corruption. Service for self takes a variety of forms. Some of these forms seem harmless. Apparent goodness gives them the appearance of genuine goodness. But they bring no glory to the Lord. By their service his cause is hindered. Christ says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Those who bring self into their work cannot be trusted. If they would lose sight of self and Christ, their efforts would be of value to his cause. They would then conform the life to his teachings. They would form their plans in harmony with his great plan of love. Selfishness would be banished from their efforts. Self-denial, humility of mind, nobility of purpose, mark the Savior's life, quoted.